for my parents, who gave me the compass I've always used to find my path. Prologue. Badlands. It is a sunny Saturday in May, and I've been on the road for 5 hours. Or 5 months, depending on how you're counting. Ever since I left Los Angeles back in January, the days and weeks have started to blur together, like the South Dakota scenery now zipping past my window. I am deep in America's Great Plains, a vast ocean of green and brown, broken up only by the occasional bright billboard. The Great Plains sounds like a name cooked up by a pioneer ad agency, a covered wagon full of Don Drapers, determined to market an expanse of seemingly unremarkable grassland. The spectacular ordinary, the magnificent dullness. No, wait, I've got it. We'll call it the Great Plains. Great faces, great places is the official state slogan printed on the license plate in front of me. The plate features a picture of Mount Rushmore, a man-made monument of men designed to bring tourists to this part of the state. The plan worked. Today, more than 2 million people a year come to see 4 dead presidents carved into granite. Only one of those great faces had any claim to this place, though. A man who saw a certain kind of beauty in the desolate, wide-open spaces. Teddy Roosevelt first came to this region in 1883, back when it was all still just the Dakota Territory, 6 years before it was carved up into North and South. Growing up in West Virginia, I always wished there was an East Virginia. Without one, I thought we sounded like a spinoff state. Tell someone you're from West Virginia, and they are bound to mention that they have friends in Roanoke, or that they've once been to Colonial Williamsburg. No, West Virginia, not Western Virginia, I try to explain. It wouldn't matter. We were forever the Diet Coke to Virginia's Coke, seen as a sequel instead of an equal. West Virginia is rural, but it is full of mountains and valleys and streams, always disguising what treasure might be around the next bend. The prairie is different. Out here, you can see what's coming from miles away. But when the tears come, they surprise me. I'm instantly embarrassed, even though there is no one else in the car. I thought I was done with this part. My GPS is guiding me toward the gray, mysterious hoodoos of Badlands National Park, but they have not yet come into view. And so, with nothing to distract me, I've become lost in my own head, alone with my loneliness. Roosevelt once wrote that nowhere, not even at sea, does a man feel more lonely than when riding over the far-reaching, seemingly never-ending plains. Here I am, 131 years later, a grown man sobbing in a Subaru. As much as I'd like to just blame it on the plains, I know this breakdown is not the scenery's fault. I should have anticipated this. I should have scheduled something fun. Instead, I have foolishly routed myself through the middle of the loneliest damn place in the country on what was supposed to be my wedding day. Great. We had just ordered the save-the-date cards when she suddenly called everything off. Still, plenty of time to cancel all of the arrangements, but too late to unsave the date in my memory. At the time, I actually tried to blame those announcements. I argue that there was probably just something about seeing our two names together in cursive, finally attached to a date, that was causing a temporary panic attack. It was normal, I said. It would pass, I promised. But it didn't. She had returned from a work trip a few days earlier, and before I knew it, she was packing her bags to leave again. I didn't know where to this time. She just said that she needed some space. She didn't want to talk about things, didn't want to try to see a counselor. It all seemed so extreme, so out of nowhere. Was this because I'd made fun of the idea of hiring trumpeters? Hire the trumpeters! I was so sorry. I couldn't understand. My fiancée was the only daughter of a large, wealthy family, and we were gearing up for a fairy tale destination wedding at a European castle. Anyone trying to crash would have to contend with a moat. Her parents were happily footing the bill, but the opulence made me anxious. I was worried none of what was planned felt